Aloha from the Garden Island of Kauai, and welcome to KKCR's Talk Story series, dedicated to sharing the music of Hawaii. John Cruz grew up on the island of Oahu as part of a musical family. His passion for music led him away from Hawaii for many years, while he attended college and continued to develop his musical talent. His return to Hawaii to join brother Ernie and childhood friend Troy Fernandez in the popular group Ka'au Crater Boys gave John an instant audience, where he would begin to perform songs that would eventually appear on his debut album, Acoustic Soul, later recognized as Album of the Year at the Nahoku Hanohano Awards. John continues to perform and produce music and has become one of Hawaii's favorites. Join me, KKCR Music Director Ken Ginelli, and John Cruz, as we talk story.
It's my pleasure to be here today with one of my favorite artists from Hawaii, Nahoku Hanohano Award-winning artist John Cruz.
It's nice to be here. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
You grew up in Palolo Valley on Oahu. What are some of your favorite memories from your childhood days?
Playing in the river, getting down in the streams and, you know, just digging around and doing that stuff. Baseball was fun. I grew up in Palolo in the housing projects there. The great thing about that is there's kids everywhere. It's full of kids. That was a blessing. My dad and my mom had 7 kids, 5 boys, 2 girls. And then my dad has 5 more girls, lots of kids.
How many are musicians in your family?
For most of them, music is a big part of their lives. I mean, now my 2 youngest sisters just put out some records. And that's been fantastic, just seeing them go through the process and stuff. And my dad actually went in the studio again recently. So he's got something brewing. I'm sure I'm going to hear some about that when I get back.
Who inspired you earliest on with music, do you think?
Oh, most definitely my dad. My dad, my brother Ernie, my brother Dave. Music was always just such a big part of our lives. Buying new records, buying new singles every week, getting excited about new albums coming out, watching, you know, stuff on TV, Top 40 stuff and American Bandstand and all that stuff. The Jackson 5, I mean, it's really exciting.
And you started playing music early on. Do you remember your first gig and how old were you?
Oh, my first gig. I think the first gig, my dad had us come down, the 3 youngest boys, myself, my brother Tony, and my brother Guy. Gee, I must have been maybe 7 or 8. We got all dressed up in our vests and a white shirt, vest. My dad sings country music. When you go to his gig, you got to wear slacks and, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. He's kind of a old school kind of guy. So, you know, we got all dressed up, got out the whip out the comb, the pomade and everything. It looked real fresh and went down and got up and sang a few songs with him at the gig. And that was great.
Little baby pure sweetness and light. I'm all my little baby love to fussle in. A smile is brighter than the sunny sky. Start a little fire with the winkle and eye. So may any cat bark, make a good dog moo. And things I like to do them all, baby, do too. Turn my head, I can't believe what I see. She loves, she loves, she loves, she loves me. When she moves, the clergyman talking. Her eyes shine like diamond, always laughing inside. But when I start seeking, mama, baby, don't hide. Make any cat bark, make a good dog move. And the things I like to do, mama, baby, do too. Turn my head, I can't believe what I see. She loves, she loves, she loves, la 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 me, yeah. Yeah, she loves, la 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 me, yeah. Oh, you know she loved me, yeah.
Sweet lullaby, melt me away.
You moved to New York in 1983 and spent the next 12 years on the East Coast performing and attending college. How did that shape you as an artist?
Getting out there and being exposed to a lot of music and a lot of experiences that I wouldn't have experienced here in Hawaii. As I was growing up and going through high school and stuff, you know, I wanted to hear more music, and every once in a while I'd hear things that would excite me a little, but you couldn't really get them on the radio back then. When I went to UH Manoa, KTUH exposed me to a lot of music. I used to devour magazines, you know, just reading about all these bands and these different music scenes. So I really knew that I wanted to go to New York as opposed to LA. Because I just felt like I wanted the New York experience. It was unbelievable. I went to UMass Amherst when I first went up there. Just being exposed to all those white people was was a trip, you know? And just the culture of that was like mind-opening experience. I mean, just being able to go see a polka band, you know what I mean? It was like, wow, you know, I'd heard about this music, klezmer music. Of course, being at the universities there, there's a 5 colleges right there in that area, and they would be hosting all kinds of music from all over the world, you know, African band, just everything, you know, and it was a really exciting time. I was ready for it. I was just devouring it all up, playing in bands with people from all over the place, and moving to New York was just all that you'd think it would be, with all the clubs and everybody's, you know, in New York, everybody's, you know, someone who grew up in some little hometown and like wanted to go to New York, and it's really charged atmosphere, and I just love it. I try to go back as much as possible, just kick it.
Were you writing during this time?
Yeah, I was writing a lot during that time. In Hawaii, there weren't that many venues and there wasn't that much encouragement to be writing your own material. I think in Hawaii, you get judged on how well you can do other people's songs, kind of. That's like the bar is set kind of there, be it Hawaiian, traditional Hawaiian songs or just popular songs, you know, that everyone knows. If you could play those songs, then you can get a gig. You can play those songs well that everyone knows. It's like that everywhere, I guess, but more so in Hawaii because there weren't that many venues that would hire people playing original music.
And that paradigm definitely changed while you're away. I mean, you return in 1995, and here your brother, Ernie Jr., is part of one of the most popular bands at the time, playing originals, playing some covers. And how did that feel to return and be the bass player for your brother?
Oh, that was fantastic, because I had been playing, of course, with my brother and with Troy since we were young, you know. My brother Ernie would always keep in touch with me and let me know what was going on and who just put out a new record, and he'd send me the records, and, you know, he'd try to explain what was happening in Hawaii with the radio stations. And I was like, wow, okay, cool. You know, when you get to New York, any second now, like, my life's going to change and everything's going to be wonderful. So coming back to Hawaii, it was quite a surprise. And to fall into a situation like that, to get up in front of thousands of people, playing with Kyle Crater Boys allowed me an instant audience. The radio was really receptive. Yeah, it worked out well.
Till the morning sun comes through the window on your head, I find your loving spirit everywhere. I may not have that much to give in material things. What I have is this song, and to you I sing. Material thing, but what I have, I give to you so free. so free. Shine on, shine on. Let your light fill up this world till dawn, yeah. Shine on, yeah, shine on. Let your light fill up this world till dawn.
Never realized this until I went to the mainland, of course, but Hawaii, a lot of people can play music. Go to parties, luaus, or even if it's not a luau, it's just go over to somebody's house and have a few beers. They've always got a ukulele in the bedroom, an old guitar in the closet. There's always live music being played somewhere, not in like some presentation kind of way. It's just like jamming. And on the mainland, which was interesting, was that not a lot of people play music. If you played music, it was like, wow, you know, it was something to make a fuss about. Ernie had asked me to help him produce a solo record. Ernie was going to do this record like years before Kyle Crater Boys started. When Kyle Crater Boys started up, you know, he had the success with that band, which was fabulous. He asked me to come back home and help him produce this record. And I was like, yeah, okay, right on. So I flew back home and I wasn't planning on staying in Hawaii. I was just planning on coming back, kicking out this record and getting back to New York. You know, I ended up getting back to Hawaii and like thinking like, okay, we're going to be recording, you know, like I've got my whole New York vibe and my New York sense of time. I'm like, when are we recording? You know what I mean? Like, when are we rehearsing? What's going on? And Ernie was just like, yeah, relax, relax. We're going to get, you know, get to it. A couple weeks went by and then a couple months. And then, you know, then I realized what he was really trying to say. Take the edge off for a while and settle in. So I did and just started to play a lot of these songs that I had in my back pocket. It just seemed like a natural thing to do because songs were getting received well. The radio was asking, you know, when can we hear this music? So I went in and did acoustic soul. It's always great to be recognized by your peers.
Here sitting around doing nothing, just feeling down. Been sitting around waiting for you. I've been feeling this way since you left me, counting the days, sitting around waiting for you. Oh, Cause without you my heart is just not at ease. Till then I'm just sitting around doing nothing, just feeling down. Sitting around waiting for you. Sitting around, doing nothing, just feeling down. Sitting around, waiting for you.
Being able to come back home and get that chance to record and produce it myself and be responsible for all the decisions that were being made was great, because it felt good to know that I was shooting for something and I was able to get it. Because you always think you can do something, but you never really know until you do it. So it's nice to finally be able to do the music that I really wanted to do, which was more acoustic-based music, which I'm still doing. I got all these electric guitars at home and amps that I don't do anything with them.
What were some of the challenges recording that first album?
Making the money to pay for the studio time. That's always the challenge, you know, when you're making a record. I kind of knew how I wanted to record a lot of these songs already. I was familiar with the process of recording. A lot of it was just getting into a clear space, headspace, and being able to pay for the studio time. I would make some money, you know what I mean? Then I'd have enough money, I'd book two sessions, and I'd go do the two sessions. And I was gigging at night with Kyle Crater Boys and doing solo gigs also myself. I had a trio together when I first got back, like a blues power trio type of thing too. And I'd just be making money and I'd, you know, get a little more money. Then I'd call up Gaylord, one of the engineers on the record, see if I could come in and record. If he was busy, then, you know, I'd call another studio and say, hey, can I come over there and record? Just wherever I could record it, I would just get in and do it. Slowly but surely piece the record together like that.
Well, you did an incredible job. Recognized, of course, for 2 Nahoku Hano Hano Awards.
Right.
Congratulations on that. Were you surprised?
It was kind of more like just surreal watching the award show when I was younger and stuff and just thinking, wow, that's them, you know, to be there. And it's like, wow, it's nice to feel like included in that circle of people, because, you know, when you're young, you just kind of like, wow, you know, you just blown away. It's funny now when I see like kids or other people, just people on the street, you know, sometimes they wouldn't want me to know that they recognize me, but yet they, you know, they're excited about it. It's a cool feeling, because I remember being in, you know, just like that. God, that's Henry Capono. Oh my God, look, red shorts, blue hat. Wow, what kind of hat is that? Oh wow, you know, and just being excited because they made music that you loved, and there they were, like just standing in line at the bank.
Music and musicians are definitely really prevalent in Hawaii, and I know you're involved in programs to help provide music education for youth. Can you tell us about your efforts and why you think it's important to provide kids with these opportunities?
Actually, a lot of schools don't even have music programs anymore. Find that to be strange. Schools that actually still have music programs, we've been donating ukuleles to them, and I'll go to the school and we'll make the presentation of the ukuleles. It's a great thing, because when I was in fourth grade, you know, first day of school, you come in, they ask you, music's class, what do you want to play, violin or ukulele? You could have something. It's mind-boggling they're not teaching music in schools. So with this program, we're just trying to keep whatever music programs there are, keep them going. I know some schools that have cut the funding for music programs. Sometimes the PTA will get together concerned parents to pay for a music teacher and to continue to have the program. We did our last schools last week or 2 weeks ago. I really hope that the program is going to continue next year and we'll be able to get out to a bunch more schools. we did LLA school here on Kauai, and that was fantastic.
How do the kids react to you?
They love it. I mean, I remember being in school and, you know, like Frank De Lima coming to our school for an assembly, Kalapana or something like that, coming to the school, and you're just like, oh my God, to my school, it's just the most exciting thing. And 300 kids singing along with you, big smiles on their faces. Who knows what that's going to do? I mean, it's just going to be a good feeling, that's for sure.
Do you ever still feel like a kid yourself?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I try to. If I catch myself being too much of an old fart, it's always joy to feel like a kid again.
Do you have a favorite song that you've written? I know that can probably change over time, but can you think of one song that, wow, I'm most proud of that one?
Well, Island Style, I'm most definitely proud of. That song, you know, resonates in me. It resonates in a lot of people, and not just people in Hawaii. That song's most definitely a blessing, culturally, musically. Can be funny at times. It's great. I've heard so many different versions of that song because it's a popular song and people love it. And so I've heard rock versions, reggae versions, little backyard Hawaiian versions. I've heard people screwing up the lyrics, you know, constantly. And I've heard people arguing about the lyrics in the song. No, it's this. No, it's that. I've heard kids sing it. A room full of first graders playing on their ukuleles, you know, both ukuleles and their voices out of tune, but singing it. That's the great thing about that song or any song is that it'll be there forever, really. You know, people will carry that song around just like how we carry all those songs we love. We carry them around with us and, you know, pull them out of our hats or pull them out of our pockets every once in a while and let them run in our heads for a little bit. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Proud of that song.
Now, I've heard there's a not often played third verse to that song that wasn't initially recorded. Is that true?
Actually, part of that is true. It used to be not often played, but now it's been played. It's been played a lot. How it happened was, there's a lot of people who write their own verses to that song. For some reason, it inspires people to write their own verses. And so after hearing other people say, oh, I got a verse for the song, you know, you like hear them. I'd hear the verse. And actually, it's been recorded by a few people now, and they've done their own verses on it, which is fantastic. It has a life like that. So I felt like, you know, I might have to write another verse for it. So I did. True story, too. True.
Can you play that for us?
Oh, I certainly can. On the island, we do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. On the island, we do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. Mama's in the kitchen cooking in a real nice beef stew on the stove on the cemetery ties. We eat and drink and we sing all day. Kane kapila in the old Hawaiian way on the island. We do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side.
From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side.
Like Eddie would say, it's doom slower, bro. Doom slower. You're doing them too fast. What you talking about, laddies? On the island, we do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, now we will do the river time. On the island, we do it island. Then I've heard the song, of course. On the island, we do it out in the style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the river to the river. Of course, right? Yeah. For the country version. On the island, we do it out. Mountain to the ocean, over to the leeward side. On the island. And then the grandma house. Okay. I sing about cleaning my grandma's yard. Guy is the one who actually cleans it out of all of us. You know, Guy definitely cuts trees and everything like that. So clear that up too. We go grandma's house on the weekend clean yard. If we don't go, oh yeah, something about my grandma cleaning yard. My grandma, when she used to clean yard, she had this system, right? So, you know, this size rocks go in this pile, half-broken coconut shells go in that pile, fully ones that aren't, the ones that aren't broken in another pile. She had a lot of order to the place. And really, when she was able to clean the yard, she didn't want anybody to help either because she had her particular way. Anyway. We go get my house and now we can clean yard. If we no go, grandma gotta work hard. You know my grandma, she like the boy real sour. Oh, I love my grandma every minute, every hour on the alley. We do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the river to the liberty. From where? On the island. We do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. Yeah. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. Oh yeah. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. Yeah.
Just feel blessed that for some reason music has been in my life, and most of the time music is going through my head, you know, like most of the right now while I'm talking to you, there's music going through my head that I'm thinking about. You don't necessarily have to be sitting down playing it or listening to it actively on a radio or something. It's just constantly beating and resonating in our lives, huh? Sometimes you can really tune into that station, really, you know, you get really tuned into that one in your head, and it's, you know, wow, it's fantastic. Sometimes the DJ's not any good in your head. Yeah, music is all around us. It's inside of us. It's around us. It's, you know, above us, below us. Rhythm, just the rhythm of time. It's huger than people actually realize. I mean, the people who do realize it, I count myself as one of them. I'm so blessed that I can grasp the magnitude of music. It's such a big part of my life. I remember these friends of mine who I used to fish with on Martha's Vineyard. Hardcore fishing, you know. This guy, his couple of kids, his nephew, his brother. We'd all go fishing together all the time. And after a while, after I'd been fishing with him for a few years, I noticed that there's never any music. Even when we're driving in a car, and it's like some people, the only time they listen to music is when they're in their car, just because they have a radio. But they didn't even used to listen to music on the radio, really. This talk, when they knew I was playing, you know, they would sometimes make it down to the gig, most times not. It just caught me one day, and I thought it was like, wow, how sad. Of course, that's me putting my judgment on these people, but I couldn't imagine my life without music. It's nice to have stations like KKCR, people who are inspired by my music and want to know what I listen to, or maybe what can I listen to? How can I hear music that will inspire me? And I always tell them, hey, go to the left side on the dot. There's going to be a public station, public radio station that you're going to get. There's always music that you're not going to hear elsewhere. It's an exciting time to be a music lover and a music maker.
How do you write your songs? Can you tell us about the process?
There's no real blueprint. A song will just pop into your head and you'll go, wow, that's a song. And you're trying to think, is that a song that I heard last week on the radio or what's happening? Sometimes you get a couple of chords and you're kicking around with the chords for a while, you know. Sometimes 10 minutes, it'll inspire some melody or something. Sometimes you kick around those three same chords for like years and keep hoping that'll inspire something and it doesn't. Sometimes you get together with other people and you play those same three chords that you've been trying to make a song into, and then all of a sudden their take on it, they influence it in a certain way, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, it becomes something that moves you, you know? Being involved with the Kauai Music Festival has been great because it's all songwriters, bunch of songwriters, and to hear the process that other people use, you know, some people actually are really disciplined. Every morning they wake up, they write for 2 hours, no matter what, you know, they're going to get up, they're going to write for 2 hours, whether they write anything good or not, they just do it. Then the rest of the day, they don't write. There's no real blueprint. It's a great thing about music is that anybody can really do it. There isn't like some set, you got to have this, you got to do this. It's a wide open process. Beautiful thing about music, it'll always remain that way. This one music teacher I had kind of explained it to me in a way, because he taught logic also, but he said, it's math, man. You can't argue with the math. Just look at the numbers, the variables of notes and, you know, and how they can be put together with rhythms and all this and harmony. It's just vast. If you want something to do, keep your mind busy and your heart full and everything. Get into music. Learn to play. You know, I know a lot of people have been always wanted to play, you know. You run into these people all the time who say, oh man, I bought a guitar years ago and I tried to play it for like, you know, I took lessons for a couple of weeks and what should I do? I say, well, go dig that guitar out of the closet and just play that one or two chords that one teacher taught you and just keep playing them and then learn a third chord and you got to put in your work for sure.
Springtime, you and me on the beach. My heart was open, I held out my hand. You didn't even reach. Now I'm all dressed up, nowhere to go. I go to the movies, the theater is so cold. I sit there by myself, sipping on my coke. The movie stars are making love, my heart is broken. Yeah, I've been missing you. Yeah, I've been missing you. Last time I saw you, I was so confused. Things that I thought I had, I found out I could lose. Now I don't want to be demanding, baby, I wouldn't do that to you. I won't be waiting outside your window watching you at a quarter past two. Oh, see I'm all dressed up, nowhere to go. I go to the movies and the theater is so cold. And I just sit there by myself, sipping on my coke. The movie stars are making love and my heart is broken. Say, I've been missing you. But you know, I've been missing you. All the things we used to do. Yeah, I've been missing you. Baby, I've I've been missing you. Dressed up with nowhere to go, I go to the movies. The theater is so cold. I sit there by myself, sipping on my coke. Movie stars are making love. My heart is broken. Said I've been missing you. Been missing you, and I've been missing you till my missing is through. Till my missing is through, I've been missing you.
Tell me about your second album, One of These Days.
Well, it was a fun album to record. You know, I was fortunate to get these fantastic players who I've listened to, you know, all my life, some of them, to be making music with them and to have it be a good thing. It was fantastic being able to pay for it. That was fantastic. The first record, like, you know, I would play a guitar track, then next week I'd come in and play another guitar track over that one, and then play some bass. 2 months later, I'd go in and sing some vocals, then I'd sing some background vocals over that. That was a cool process because you can kind of control, in some sense, and be methodical about recording. And then, like, with One of These Days, you got into the studio with a couple of people and set up the equipment and just, okay, this is how the song goes, and then, okay, let's go, 1, 2, 3, and play it. What a wonderful thing, you know, when you can trust the players that you're playing with. And it feels good, and it gets recorded well. I was able to, with One of These Days, go for those warm tones like I did with Acoustic Soul. I really tried to go for the warmer sounds.
Front yard, I'm gonna sit on my porch and rock. Walk on by if you see me sitting there, well, you can stop and talk. One of these days in my own front yard, I'm gonna sit on my porch and rock. Walk on by if you see me sitting there, well, you can stop and talk. One of these days, one of these days. Some folks think living is sleeping in the city, bringing home buckets of cash. Others are happy just sitting back, not thinking about who's coming in last. Me, I just don't know where the bus is gonna lead. Got nothing happening fast. But there's one thing I know, whether we go fast or slow. One of these days in my old front yard, I'm gonna sit on my porch and rock, yeah. Walk on by if you see me sitting there, you can stop and talk, yeah. One of these days in my own front yard, I'm gonna sit on my porch and rock, yeah. Walk on by if you see me sitting there, oh, you can stop and talk. Why don't you stop and talk one of these days, yeah. One of these days. folks think living is sleeping in the city, bringing home buckets of cash. Others are happy just sitting back, not thinking about who's coming in last. Me, I just don't know where all this bustle's gonna lead. Seems like we got a bunch of nothing happening fast. But there's one thing I know, whether we go fast or slow. Fast or slow, one thing I know, sit on my porch and sit on my porch and sit on my porch the day, but it might be the eye of a hurricane. just might be the eye of a hurricane. Oh yeah, the eye of a hurricane. Feeling good today, everything gonna go my way. Question isn't if at all, just when. I'm so tired of the same old fight. I work so hard and nothing comes out right. It sure feels good to be back on my feet again. Say hey, I feel like things might go my way, but when I stop, it starts to rain. Hey, I feel so good, I wanna seize the day, but it might be the eye of a hurricane. Yeah, it just might be the eye of a hurricane. Oh yeah, the eye of a hurricane. Woke up feeling good today, yeah. Woke up feeling good, yeah. Feeling good, yeah. Woke up feeling good, woke up feeling good today, yeah. Feeling good today.
Who are some of your favorites to jam with?
Fiji's always fun to play with. He's a musical beast. And his instrument is his voice, so he doesn't have to be, you know, concerned about if he could play the chords or equipment or a bad patch chord or something. And he's always game for anything and very musical. Barry Flanagan's always fun to jam with because you never know what he's going to do. He's got that sort of nervous, excited energy that kind of electrifies a sort of stage. Got to jam recently with Roland Casimiro, which is like, oh my God, all those chords that he plays. I mean, there's such a signature kind of sound, you know, and to be jamming. In fact, I'm going to be jamming with him in a couple of days over here up in Kauai. This is going to be great. There's so many players, you know, like it's nice running to players who I knew before I left, like when I was in high school, guys who I used to look up to and like, wow, I'd go watch them play, you know, and like just sit there all night watching them play, trying to remember stuff. And then, you know, leave the club and then go home and, you know, play for 4 hours, you know, trying to figure stuff out, you know, running into them and jamming with them. And Clayton Apilando, who's a great, fabulous guitar player from Waimanalo, who I went to Kailua High School with. A bunch of people used to show up. I did this gig, a weekly gig in Honolulu when I first got back at this bar. I played every Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night. And after a while, like, you know, I'd have kind of like an open stage policy. So people would come by all the time and we just have a blast. Henry Capono, Willie Kay, you know, Naleo came down and sang. Teresa Bright, that was nice jamming with Teresa. I love her voice and her sensitivity with the music.
Do you think music can help influence positive changes in our world?
Oh, most definitely. Music has influenced positive changes throughout the history. Music, of course, has always been supporting oppressed people. Music has always been a big part of that. A lot of cultures that had their music banned because of various reasons. Hawaiian music, for example, and a lot of other music around the world. You know, it's like with the Hawaiian Cultural Revolution that we're kind of going through now, musicians were very influential in that. In the 60s, in Washington, D.C., the civil rights movement, music was always a big part of influencing change in people's hearts and minds. Like, we can do something to feel empowered. Plus, music is just such a beautiful gift.
KKCR would like to thank John Cruz for sharing with us on this edition of Talk Story. Talk Story was recorded at New Boomer Music and the studios of Kauai Community Radio. Funding for this program was made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Talk Story is produced by Ken Ginelli, engineered and mastered by Jerry Brocklehurst. For more information about KKCR's Talk Story, visit kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774. Aloha.